Okay, well, let's get started. You guys showed up on time. So first of all, thank you very much for attending this 9 a.m. session on the second day of the Office Summit in sunny Houston. This session is called Yammer Enterprise Administration. And the goal of this session is to give you an overview of all the basic steps you need to know to administer Yammer Enterprise. Before I start, a quick introduction. Steve.
My name is Steve Nguyen. I'm an Office 365 Customer Success Manager, so I help our customers with the adoption usage of Office 365 tools.
And I'm Christoph Feisinger, based in Redmond. I'm a Group Product Manager and mainly focus on our enterprise social product strategy and product roadmap. Before we actually start, a quick show of hands. How many of you are using Yammer today? About half, good. And how many of you are using Office 365? Pretty good.
So for those of you guys using Yammer, are you guys on enterprise? You guys have upgraded, you have the admin? You've poked around with some of the admin capabilities?
No.
Good. A little bit? Okay.
Good. So now, again, just to set expectation, we'll give you an overview. For those of you that already have Yammer Enterprise, we'll plug in with 365. Some of the material might not be as relevant to you, but definitely for those of you that either haven't activated, have just played with the free version of Yammer, or have not integrated with 365, hopefully there'll be a key learning in the next 75 minutes or so.
Question. I'm sorry. Are you going to explain the difference between the free version and the enterprise version?
Absolutely, yes.
People ask me that.
Yeah, I'll get it. So again, to repeat the question, we'll cover a little bit about the difference between the free and the paid version. Absolutely, I'll give you a quick, I'll give you a pointer as well. But, so basically there's four sections in this presentation. First of all, first section is Yammer on Office 365. How do you activate it? How do you make it the default experience within 365? And a couple of other useful things you need to know, for instance, how do you surface the Yammer feed in SharePoint? Second section of the deck is all about identity. Think of user management, SSO, single sign-on, Active Directory sync. What is the user in Yammer? What's the life cycle of the user? How do I manage my profile? So everything you need to know about user management. And I will conclude the second part. I'll be doing a demo after the first section. And then I'll hand over to Steve, who's going to focus specifically on some of the Yammer administration capabilities that are available at your fingertip when you do have Yammer Enterprise enabled, around managing users, keyword monitoring, or a bunch of other things you can do in the back end. And then last but not least, probably one of the most important sections. Now, there was a full track about this around adoption, and we call that the journey. But you'll see, well, there's definitely a lot of things you need to know on the technical front as IT pro to set, configure, and manage Yammer. There's definitely a whole other area that you'll have to partner with your businesses to make this as a successful tool and to drive value within your organization. So we'll give you a couple pointers on how to get started with that journey of rolling out enterprise social, since it's not just like another service you turn on and magically everyone start using it and start getting value out of it. As we mentioned before we get started, definitely, again, thanks for showing up today, but let's continue the conversation even when you're back in your office, when we're back in our respective hometown, and continue the conversation in the external network. Not only we get experts from Microsoft, we also have partners, we also have folks on the engineering team, so whatever the questions are, all the questions are great. Don't be shy and engage with us in that external network when you get back to your offices.
And feel free to give us questions throughout the session as well. Don't hesitate.
Don't be shy. Okay, so let's get started with the first section, which is Office 365. Now, again, this is an IT pro section, and I wasn't going to talk a lot about the value of enterprise social, but I wanted to frame the discussion just to be crystal clear. You know, as Michael Atala mentioned yesterday in the keynote, enterprise social is definitely a big bet for Microsoft. You probably maybe have heard our CEO, Satya Nadella, mentioning social productivity in some recent press event we did a couple weeks ago. And for Microsoft, enterprise social solution our go-forward recommendation is go Yammer. And I know in the past, you know, Yammer is an acquisition we made a little over 2 years ago, and we do have some social capabilities in SharePoint. But as we've announced multiple times, going forward, our investments will be in Yammer. It won't be in SharePoint social capabilities. So I just, again, want to be crystal clear. I know most of you raised your hand about using Yammer. I didn't ask how many of you are using SharePoint social. But if you are a partner engaging with your favorite customers, you definitely want to set the expectation properly. Now, obviously, we'll still support SharePoint Social, the 2013 version, or the SharePoint Online available today, but we're not going to be making investments in that set of capabilities. And this is just a data point that, again, shows where we are today compared to others. Yes, there's plenty of alternatives. You get a link to the latest Gartner Magic Quadrant that was published a couple months ago, and you can read the full report. But basically, you know, we're definitely in the leaders quadrant in our ability to execute and our vision. And if you read the report, you'll see Gartner giving us credit for Yammer and Office 365. Like, that space has evolved quite a bit in the past 4 years or 5 years, you know, when Yammer was definitely a best of breed as a newsfeed. But now you guys, our customers in general, expect more than your newsfeed. You expect social media to come to the business process or the tool where you get work done day in, day out. And that's what Gartner gives us credit, especially in terms of what we've done so far with the integrations and where we're going forward. Okay, with that GoYammer pitch, let's talk specifically now about the first step in Yammer administration, which is you need to enable Yammer Enterprise. Now, back to the question we had earlier, what's the difference between Yammer Enterprise and Yammer Basic? And think of Yammer Basic, which is the free version of Yammer. It's the version that that available at no cost, everyone can use. It's got all the power user thing you can dream of, you know, creating posts, creating announcements, all that good stuff. And the paid version historically has been mainly targeted at IT. You want to set up Active Directory Sync, so you want to make sure, let's say, you're interns that came in the summer, as soon as they go back to university, they're removed from accessing Yammer, whether the endpoint is an iPhone or a PC, you need Yammer Enterprise for that. You want to set up SSO, single sign-on, to secure all the endpoints, you need Yammer Enterprise for that. You want to set up keyword monitoring and put some policies on usage of the network, you need Yammer Enterprise for that. You want to customize, you know, the change some of this. Sorry?
The masthead.
The masthead, thank you, Steve. You need Yammer Enterprise for that. So for Bert, who had a question on, you know, why Yammer Enterprise, there's a full document that shows you the difference. So I'm not going to show you that, but at least I give you the link in this slide if a customer is asking you. Now, to be clear on this question, especially for you guys as IT pro, since the acquisition, we've been on the journey to actually giving Yammer Enterprise at no additional cost with any of the 365 subscription. So let's say either for those of you that are raising your hand, I don't know if you get one of our E1, E2, E3, or one of our Enterprise subscription plan. Yammer Enterprise is included in our cost. So gentlemen early from a university, Yammer Enterprise is included in the additional cost. We've got a mid-market offering in 365. Yammer Enterprise is included at no additional cost. And we're going to, you know, the goal is to offer Yammer Enterprise in all our commercial plans as part of 365. So hopefully, you know, you're not going to go purchase Yammer Enterprise standalone, but you'll purchase a service plan out of 365 so that, like I mentioned earlier, it's not just about getting the great experience that Yammer delivers, but the whole productivity suite, including documents, unified communication, and stuff like that.
One other thing I'd like to note about the freemium versus enterprise is that from an end user perspective, when you switch from freemium to enterprise, the end users, by and large, see no difference at all. So there's really little impact in moving from freemium to enterprise. Mostly it's an admin capability that you're enabling.
Yeah, you get all the power user capabilities in the free version. And, you know, again, that's what made part of the success of Yammer. It's what, you know, industry would call a freemium model, where it's free and you got all the power user. The paywall is for IT in this case. So how do you claim your Yammer Enterprise, especially for those of you that are license for 365 or considering 365. And this is the slide I've got up there. And hopefully it's a pretty straightforward process. I'll give you a quick overview, especially for those of you that, don't have 365 today. But basically, you need to add a company domain. Hopefully, that's pretty straightforward. And maybe you've done that if you already configure, let's say, Exchange Online in, 365. Then you need to assign global admins. And the reason is when we do the mapping, a global admin in 365 will be become a verify admin in Yammer. And I'll go over the different roles and responsibilities in Yammer and what access you get. And then after that, it's as simple as a click. I'll show you. It's a little hard to find, but you activate Yammer. It takes 5 to half an hour max. And then voila. And after that, you get your Yammer Enterprise. You can log in. You can add users. And you can do all the good stuff that Steve will be showing you later. And then the last step I put in is, again, like I said, is, you know, Yammer was an acquisition 2.5 years ago. And if you buy a 365 plan today, you'll see that it does say the news feed, which is SharePoint. And so I'll show you the switch to make Yammer that default experience, because like I mentioned earlier, this will be the fast-moving train where we'll do a lot of the innovation that you saw yesterday, for instance, at the keynote, like the ability to do a conversation in Delve and stuff like that. So those are the four-step processes. Now, again, I'm giving you the overview, and the reason is we have a ton of documentation. You can definitely go back in the office and go in all the nitty-gritty detail, and there's a guide here, and there's guidance on how to replace the newsfeed. I'll give you a quick overview. So this is really the first step, because again, like I said, the remainder of this presentation all assumes that you do have Yammer Enterprise activated. Yes. Yeah. Very good question. Yes, there is definitely domain verification. This is all managed by Office 365.
So let's say that outside, so you do the freemium, right, outside of Office 365, and then you go to introduce it as there. So it's, if you haven't added it, is somebody able to hijack your domain, basically, or is there still domain verification?
There is.
Freemium
there is domain verification, and you know, ideally, it should be seamless to upgrade that freemium that was started standalone by your users, and then you want to bring it back in-house in your in the 365 tenant. Yeah, it shouldn't be, for the end user, shouldn't be disruptive, and no one should be able to hijack that domain.
Because the person still has to belong to that domain in order to verify.
It's an email,
that they're,
right? So that's basically the domain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Now, you can always, you know, if you run into any issue, as usual, you can open a support ticket, but this shouldn't be an issue. That's a very common scenario to go from freemium that gets started by your employees and so on, bring it back in-house with some management, and you go from standalone freemium to enterprise as part of your 365 tenant. Absolutely. Good question.
You covered this for maybe a more appropriate time, but say for whatever reason management says shut her down. Don't let anybody from our domain use Yammer.
And is that a free or an enterprise network?
Okay, now we're enterprise, but for whatever reason, it says shut her down, turn her off, get all the data out of it, whatever.
Oh, we're not going to go into the details of that in this presentation, but we can talk offline. But I'll say, in short, the easiest way to do that is to be enterprise. So through having enterprise capabilities, there are mechanisms to be able to do that. Yeah, we can talk about that offline if you're interested. Yeah.
Okay, so that's to do the enterprise activation. Hopefully, pretty straightforward. I mean, the biggest thing is the domain, but hopefully, again, if you set up Exchange Online, it should be pretty easy to do. The next thing you can do is, you know, you start surfacing. The beauty of Yammer, and I'll give you a quick overview, especially for those of you that didn't raise your hand, is the ability to bring a conversation next to, let's say, a document library in SharePoint. So again, you get the best of both worlds. You get structure, content management powered by SharePoint with co-authoring, versionings, whatever you're doing with your document in SharePoint. And then next to that, you get the ability to start a conversation around any document with your team, or it's not just a conversation around a document, but it could be, you know, hey, we're having a team event, or good job, Avi, for a great presentation yesterday, yada, yada, yada. So this is a procedure, very straightforward. to surface Yammer in a SharePoint site, for instance. But notice I just say Yammer embed. The reason is you can take a step further and you can extend that to, you know, if you wanted to a line of business app, you know, or elsewhere, whether it's a line of business app on-prem or in the cloud, whether it's a Salesforce or whatever it is, the ability to bring that social layer to that line of business application. There was a full developer session yesterday, and I think, yes, you'll get access to the deck. So if you're interested and you want to hand that off to your developer back at in the office, you can definitely do so. We get a lot of SDK and all the good stuff for developers to get started to integrate Yammer with line of business apps. A couple of other useful links once you've done the integration before I switch to the demo is obviously there's a Office Health dashboard. For those of you who are not familiar with Office 365 or not tenant admin, but this is kind of like the dashboard where you can track status of what's working and not working. And there's also a Yammer site status. Over time, probably the question I get is, will the two merge? Absolutely, that's the goal. But we still have a lot of Yammer standalone customers, and not everyone's on 365. But in, you know, hopefully longer term, they'll just be the Office Health dashboard will be your source of truth if there's any downtime interruptions that you need to be aware of as administrator. Yammer mobile apps. Wasn't planning to do a demo, but we get apps for all platforms, from iOS to Android to Windows Phone, and you know we're going to be announcing pretty soon a new series of apps, for instance, with iOS 8 to leverage some of the new capabilities that are coming with that, the updated version from Apple. But definitely something that you need to be aware of as IT administrators to enable users to access the Yammer on the go or wherever they are. Yammer support, it's really a link to our community, and then pretty much like you can do today in 365, if you want to open a ticket, there's that in the tenant admin, you can just click and you get a checkbox and you can say, yeah, I've got a question about Yammer, I want to claim my domain, whatever the issue, and so forth. One that I'm not going to show you in the demo, but always something that IT needs to manage is the Office URLs on IP ranges. And this is for the entire stack of 365, and you'll see there's a section for Yammer of what are some of those URLs that you potentially need to let through the firewall or configurations, you know, with your favorite browser that you manage on your desktop master. And then last but not least, I know I'm talking about 365, but I want to make sure I know a lot of you, and I'm still meeting a lot of customers worldwide, that you still have, it's not everything in the cloud. You might still have an intranet on premises or some site internally, you know, a legal site, whatever. And this is the documentation on TechNet, again, to if you want to bring that conversation layers to that on-premises SharePoint farm that you might still have sitting under someone's desk or managed by you guys in a data center. So a lot of documentation available to drive deeper integration with the stack. And then last but not least, before switching to demos, as we mentioned yesterday in the keynote, things are moving pretty fast. And one of the things we've learned from Yammer is, you know, can we give you guys visibility in terms of what's coming and what's cooking in the Redmond kitchen or the San Francisco kitchen, whatever product. And, you know, end of June, mid-June, third week of June, we released the Office roadmap. It's definitely something you should bookmark. There's an RSS feed. And obviously, for those of you that have been following that, you've seen like the pace of announcement is only getting faster, and it's definitely not going to stop. We're looking to make this a little more modern, where potentially you could be notified so that you guys as admins, you're always a step ahead, and there's no surprises, and you always know what's coming, and you're on top of things. And the roadmap includes all the key Yammer innovations. So some of the things I'll show you that haven't shipped that we announced, that's captured in that Office 365 for roadmap. Definitely was not planning to talk about what's coming in terms of roadmap. We wanted to ground this to the present. But again, if you got questions, you can definitely catch us after the session. I can answer your questions. Okay, enough talking. Let me switch to a couple of things I wanted to show you. So here I've logged into Office 365, and this is the tenant admin view, for those of you if you haven't seen this before. And I'll show you, I'm not going to show you how to claim a domain. I mean, you can click here and register your domain if you haven't done so. In this case, this is a virgin demo tenant, so I haven't claimed a domain yet. But back to what I was saying earlier, once you've claimed a domain, maybe define some administrator, the next step is to do the activation. And you know, it's a little hard to find. We're definitely working to make this a little more visible. But you go in the homepage and you click under Included Services, and there's a link there that says, yes, activate Yammer Enterprise for my network. And you go here, and then after that, it's pretty much, you know, I will enter the domain, you know, verify the confirm ownership, back to the questions from the front row earlier. And after that, once I've done the ownership verification, again, it takes between, I think, 5 to 30 minutes to have that done. So it's pretty quick. Not going to show it. After that, like I said, you can definitely log into that Yammer network. The last thing you need to do is, let me go back here, is to make Yammer the default in the in your default experience in your tenant. And to do that, I'm still getting used to the new app launcher that we have here. For those of you that have 365, you probably have a series of links. But by default, it would say the newsfeed, which is SharePoint. To make Yammer the default, you go to the admin settings, and you go to SharePoint. And again, not the most obvious, but definitely thoroughly documented, and I provided the link in the slide. You go to SharePoint Admin Centers, you go to Settings, and right in the center here, there is Enterprise Social Collaboration and Make Yammer the Primary Social Experience, and here's the link. So again, by default, if I zoom in on that, you'll see that it's the SharePoint newsfeed, and our recommendation is to select yammer.com. Yeah, you go to SharePoint Admin Center, Admin. Collab, yeah, exactly. Again, we got screenshots and step-by-steps on this. SharePoint Admin, Settings, and then select yammer.com as the service. And after that, same thing, it takes a couple of minutes to replicate on the data centers and all the blades that we got running your tenant. But eventually after that, you refresh, and then Yammer is the default in your navigation, and it has replaced the newsfeed. Now, just to be clear, none of the data, if some of the folks in your organization have started to leverage the newsfeed, are deleted. It's just made read-only. So I cannot create a new SharePoint newsfeed, but I can see all the past history that people have leveraged the SharePoint newsfeed for.
So if you dropped a newsfeed, what part on the page that's going to stay persistent?
It's going to stay persistent. You know, there's not going to be net new activity. Same thing with all the site feeds. You know, it's there. Nothing's going away. And that's why you can actually go back and forth and make Yammer the default SharePoint. I mean, be very confusing for your users. But you can try it in a test tenant, and you can go back and forth if you wanted. Because again, we're not deleting any data when you're in using Yammer. We're just making SharePoint less visible and read-only.
But all those users would have to follow their sites again and things like that?
This doesn't impact following sites. I'm just talking really the newsfeed. All the follow action that you get on documents, sites, that's not impacted by this switch. That's independent. Good question. Okay, I just move on since I'm seeing the clock is ticking. So Yammer is on by default. The next thing I'll show you is, so here I'll go to Yammer. Refresh. So a couple of things I want to show you. First of all, notice how I get the Office 365 app launcher, and I've got Yammer underneath. What you're looking at is something we announced 2 weeks ago that we're going to start shipping this month, and we're going to roll out till March, which is now Yammer recognizes your Office 365 credential. That means for Christoph or for any end users, I get that seamless experience. I can go from Yammer, I can go to OneDrive, I get that top navigation that is consistent across the suite, depending on what I'm trying to do. and I get the workload below that line. So here you see, again, this is the 365 suite now with all the notifications and all the things I can do with it, and I've got Yammer below. So again, it's an exciting milestone because, you know, it's a foundational work that we've been working on for a while, and reaching that milestone is going to enable us to do deeper integration with, for instance, Link or other workload that we have in 365. So Yammer is now 365 identity aware is one way to talk about it. And I'll talk about AD Sync on SSO later if you get questions about this in details. But from an end user, a much seamless experience. Again, high level overview of Yammer here. I got newsfeed and all the things I care about. In this case, I've narrowed down to all the things I'm following, but I can definitely toggle how much fire hose signals I want. I can go all, and you know, this is a demo tenant, so there's not a lot of information, but you can imagine doing this on the Microsoft network with 140,000 people, and it's definitely hard to keep up, kind of like looking at Twitter without any filter. On the left, I got all the groups, and typically think of groups of a place where I get work done. It could be my team group, it could be a community of interest, it could be a customer group, whatever I want. And you can see here in this demo tenant, we get some around marketing, we get some legal and stuff like that, customer satisfaction, and so forth. Now I'll show you one of the group. Here I've created in this demo a marketing group. And you can see the team is having a bunch of conversations. And for instance, I can show you here, we get a document about marketing goals, and I can just easily navigate to that document if the connection will let me do so. And here I get word online. I will see word online. And on the right-hand side, I get a conversation about this document. So this is some of the stuff that we've been doing to tighten the integration between the two, where I can have a beautiful document on the left-hand side. Maybe I'll pick this one. And conversation on the right-hand side. So it's all side-by-side. And you know, my team can just look at the beautiful whatever presentation in this case, maybe not, and then have a discussion about it on the right-hand side. So it's persistent. You know, someone can go back and say, yeah, slide 4, great. And I can obviously do co-authoring because this is PowerPoint Online, so I can have up to whatever 90-plus people editing this document at the same time. And the last thing I want to show you, so this is just high-level integration between documents and conversation, in this case, powered by Yammer. Last thing I wanted to show you is, let me go back to, here we go, a little later, the Word document came up, is how do I surface that conversation back into SharePoint. And it's actually very straightforward. You go to a group, and you go to the right-hand side here, and you get access options. And one of the options, the last one, is say embed this group in your site. It opens a window with a script. You can copy that script. And I go here, let's say, to my site. In this case, I'll edit the site. Again, if you're not familiar, this is just standard SharePoint capabilities where I can customize the look and feel. And I can drop here that script. Again, we have documentation. I know I'm going kind of fast. And I can drop that script, and you know, I can change maybe the width. Let's make it 600 pixel. And I hit insert. It takes a couple seconds. And you see now I've got conversation next to my document. So again, if this is the default for my marketing team, they get access to all the marketing-related documents on the right-hand side and conversation that the team is having, whether directly in the browser in this case or in their mobile app on the left-hand side. Sometimes, so the question is, you know, if people are having security issues, what are the troubleshooting steps? A lot of the time, you know, especially with IE, where people are prompted to log in again, it's, you know, you don't have like star.yammer.com as your trusted site or some of the things I showed you that link earlier. So maybe you've blocked something and someone can't log in. If you set up SSO, single sign-on, and stuff like that, I should just, you know, pretty much I'm logging in Windows, I get my site, you know, I'm part of AD, I'm trusted, and I get access to whatever I need to do, and I get Yammer, I shouldn't have to re-enter my credentials. So that's a segue into the next part of the presentation, which is managing users. And a couple things, again, especially for those of you that are not familiar with Yammer, what I was showing you that Contoso network is what we call a canonical network, which is the top part of that diagram. So think of your company with all the groups, the hush-hush, the public, the whatever, all the groups that you get within your company that get worked on a day-to-day basis. One of the beauty of Yammer is in a couple clicks, and then you get a chance to do that, maybe Steve will show that, is you can create an external network. And think an external network, a way to collaborate with either your favorite vendors, your favorite customers, your favorite partners. That's exactly what we did to engage with you guys for this event. We've created the Office 365 community. So the parent network is Microsoft, but we created an external bubble to engage with you guys. And that's what you're seeing on the bottom side. Now, there's things you can't do with external network compared to a canonical network. For instance, you can do an Active Directory sync with your main network because you know the domain. All those users are in Active Directory. In an external network, we haven't set up trust relationship with all your respective ADs, right? So, yes, we can manage users and still will show you that, but there's things, for instance, you can't really set SSO for an external network because, you know, we don't have federation between everyone's Active Directory. So it's something to take into consideration. And yes, you can control if you don't want people to blindly create external networks in Yammer. Moving forward, as I mentioned earlier, there's different roles in Yammer, and that, you know, that's the introduction before I go into Active Directory and SSO. But the highest level privileges in Yammer is what we call a verify admin. And that person can do everything on the right-hand side. And, you know, it's a little hard to see, but at the bottom in bold, like I said earlier, in that process of activation, you're going to define who's going to be a global admin. Every tenant admin will be, sorry, tenant global admin will become a verify admin in your tenant when we do that activation process. So it's something to consider. And, you know, the verify admin, again, can do everything. Export, manage, kick people out, et cetera, et cetera.
Probably one of the main ones to call out, though, is the access to all groups. So that verified admin can see into any group, public, obviously, and any private group, whether it's listed or unlisted. So just be cognizant of that capability.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. And then the network admin, little subset, definitely has administrative powers, if I can say so, but not as much as the verify admin. Now, again, we do have a full document that explains this, but, you know, we can, same thing, look at groups, configure the user's policy, still will give you an overview of that. The next two columns are mainly users, and group admin is really administration of a group in Yammer. So I was showing you the marketing group. If I create that group, by default, I'm the admin of that group. Now, I can create it and then say, hey, Steve, you're on the marketing team. You know, you're co-admin of that group. And there's a couple of things you can do when you're manage that little island, that group, such as, you know, you can invite these users, you can make it private, public, et cetera. And then the lowest one is obviously users. And, you know, here's what other users can do. They can invite others, and they can do all the usual thing you expect a user to do in Yammer.
One of the best practices for group admins, by the way, is we suggest that you add an additional group admin right away when you create your group, just in case Christoph leaves or, you know, the person leaves, you have that backup in place. If something happens where you have just one group administrator and that person ends up leaving the network, what happens is that there's no group admin for that group, and then whoever wants to volunteer for it can become the group admin. So that's why it's kind of a best practice to have at least two to start with.
Yeah. I mean, the one I use group administration quite a bit is the ability to post an announcement. And I didn't show you that, but the announcement, when you do that in Yammer, really goes, you know, you can't miss it. It's like, hey, we're having a launch, we're having a holiday party, whatever. So yes, having redundancy in case you're on vacation and we need to broadcast an announcement to the team or the community is very important. Yes, question.
When the group admin leaves, people can volunteer for it.
Yeah, if there's only one group admin and that group admin leaves, what happens is in that top right corner where it says group members, it just says there's no group administrator. If you'd like to become group administrator, click here. So generally people are adults and it's not a big deal.
Within that group, I mean, if it's a
private
group.
That group.
Yeah.
Can any user
collaborate?
Yes. So the question is, can any users create groups? Absolutely.
Because you have create groups under group admin, but they're not a group admin until they create the group, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's a good question. Well, we should update that slide, yeah. But you're right. Good catch. No, an user can create a group, public or private. And
the question is, can you lock down the ability for people to create groups? And there isn't an ability to do that. And part of that is because this comes from kind of the Yammer philosophy of trying to allow or trying to reduce the amount of friction there is to people coming together and collaborating quickly. So if you think of kind of on the far end of the spectrum, creating a team site, it's kind of a lot involved in creating a team site. Versus on the other end of the spectrum, there's not a lot. You know, you click create group in Yammer, and you're pretty much off and running. And what we found is even in a lot of the testing that we've done in people creating Yammer groups, the more steps there are to creating the group, the more people would opt out of not doing it. So we want to lower the amount of friction to people actually collaborating with each other.
So I've talked about the different roles. Talking about users, it's actually pretty basic. You know, think of the blue box as active. Right? Let me step back. When you invite, for instance, you do an Active Directory sync, or let's say we invite you to the network. Let's say you have the free version, Yammer Basic. And basically, you're in that pending state up until you actually connect to Yammer, update your profiles or not. But you actually have to log in to become active. I'll show you in the next slide. I'll talk a little bit about what you can do with your profile. And after that, you know, for instance, if you did set up Active Directory sync, so you can make sure that folks that shouldn't be part of the network are booted off the island, you know, like students or just new employees, not just people being booted off, but you get new employees coming in on a regular basis, and you run maybe the Active Directory sync, you know, once a day, once a week, and suddenly they will automatically become pending till they actually physically connect to the network. And you get those different status. And even in the deleted, someone was asking me yesterday, there's different status. It could be a soft delete or a hard delete. Soft delete means we still retain that employee's participation in the network, all the things we do with the icon changes on the status, but you can still see all their contribution to the network. And if you see a hard delete, literally that means we wipe all the data with respect to that individual in your network. Okay. Yammer user profile, again, definitely typically a common IT question. So there's things you can do. On the right-hand side, I put a screenshot of the user profile. Yes, you can, you know, update your profile picture plus additional information that you care to share with your colleagues. You do have some control, but not full control as administrators. Yes, you can bring some information from Active Directory. There's a link. And yes, if you want to do further automations or bring additional attribute, you can also leverage our REST API to further tweak user profiles. And just, again, I'm going to speed up a little bit since we got still a lot of content to cover. So talk about users, roles, and networks. Now the next question is, you know, what do we do with Active Directory on SSO? And hopefully this slide explains it. I guess there's a build. But basically, you need both. You know, again, they all each has a very distinct role. Directory sync, like I say, you know, typically the master is an on-prem Active Directory. Hopefully some of you are starting to leverage Azure AD as well. But that's the master who's in, and really it's used to remove people or add people in the network. And then SSO is really to secure the endpoints, whether it's on a tablet, a PC, a phone, and to make sure that, again, it's not, you know, it abides with whatever password policy. It's one password that I need to either log into my Windows or log into whatever my company portal or Yammer. It's the same set of credentials. And ideally, again, our recommendation is you need both, but you can definitely have one or the other, or have none. And typically, that's what a lot of customers have initially, especially when they started. If you got a question, I've got a couple slides that explains each, but there's definitely a full session on identity management that Paul Andrew is going to be delivering this afternoon, really around 365. So if you want to see talk ADFS and on-prem and da-da-da-da-da, definitely something I recommend attending. Now, to go specifically on Active Directory, why do you need it? Like I say, adding people, profile updates, and probably suspensions, like I say, removing people from the network that no longer are part of your company is typically a very good reason to set up Directory Sync. And pretty easy to install, doesn't take long. You can put it in a physical machine, virtual machine, whatever. It's a pretty small footprint in terms of executable. And this is the process to do so. As I say, there's definitely a lot of additional information step-by-step on how to set up on TechNet. And we also published something that we've actually, Microsoft IT implemented, if you really want to audit users. So we put like sample code if you want to have a lot more granular level of what's going on with your directory sync. Yes, question. Yes, so very good question. Is this a separate synchronization? Absolutely. Will we have one synchronization sync in the future? Yes. But at this stage, it's separate. So yes, you have your 365 directory sync. If you're on the journey with 365, you should have set up that up. And we'll have this the Yammer directory sync. So yes, yes for today. But in the future, it's something we're looking at consolidating. Can't disclose any time frame on that, but like I say, it's something we're working on. And like I say, you know, to be honest, even a marketing person like me, I've set this up in a half an hour. I mean, it's full of documentation. I mean, if you want to do fancy, if you don't have any, even without any LDAP queries, I was able to do it. It's not very hard. So it's not a big effort to do. But again, longer term, absolutely. You should only have one directory sync with the cloud. Yes? I don't know. We can follow up offline. I think sometimes with the multi-force, the question is more like, how many do you have multiple Yammer networks? And, you know, is there a trust relationship? I don't know. Let's talk afterward. One thing we did to move the needle, yes, there's also a separate Yammer SSO. Like I said, we announced 3 weeks ago that we're going to be start rolling out from December to March this new, the ability for Yammer to recognize 365 credentials. And, you know, we're on that journey, like I said earlier, to really use 360 SSO for 365 and to longer term use Azure Active Directory to manage users. So the recommendation is for those of you who have set up SSO or are thinking of set up Yammer SSO, these are the recommendation why you should do so. If you don't fall out into any of those three scenarios, our recommendation is don't set up Yammer SSO and stick to whatever you have, either implemented today or about to set up to secure your endpoint with respect to 365. But the three scenario, the three exceptions we get today is, for instance, if you get, let's say if you're in retail and you get employees that don't have an email address, you might use Yammer SSO to enable those employees to access Yammer. If you want to control access to a specific service, meaning, for instance, maybe you want only the marketing team or maybe the folks in Texas to access Yammer or not access Yammer, that's something you can do with Yammer SSO. And then more, last but not least, if you have multiple Yammer networks. Now, again, if all those don't apply to you, then stick to what you have today. Hopefully you have some SSO set up with 365 or are on the journey to enable that. I put the link to the blog post, and it's got a lot more nitty-gritty detail of SSO and Deer Sync to help you really make the right decision. And I also put a link if you do or if you fall in the case where you get multiple networks, either through acquisitions or different parent-child companies, then how to merge those networks. So that, again, you can leverage that functionality that we're going to be start rolling out. Again, what I'm talking about is what I was showing you earlier, where, as an end user, I get the 365 navigation and Yammer at the bottom, or underneath that. So in the case where you fall in those buckets, here's the procedure to set up Yammer SSO. At the high level, in this case, unlike the Deer Sync that I showed you earlier, you will need to open a support ticket with us. And we'll have to do a little bit of work on the back end. So this is not self-service, which is the third bullet from that slide. You want to leverage Azure Active Directory. There's a guidance on the blog post. But again, like I said earlier, it's something that we're also working on to make it to be to support natively pretty soon. And again, I, like everything else, I put the link to the full detailed documentation on TechNet. Okay. With that, hand it over to Steve to talk about Yammer administration.
Any questions for Christoph while I do a little swap here?
You talked about Azure, AD setting up here. Is it the same for on-prem?
Yeah, so for on-prem, it's the same thing. Like, you get, if you're on-prem, you get your, you're talking about AD on-prem or SharePoint on-prem or both. Yeah, you still need to tell those, you still need to manage those users and to give that seamless experience. So you get your on-prem SharePoint, but with the Yammer conversation, you want to set up SSO so that Christoph doesn't have to authenticate again.
Of course. And so the documentation
that
you have just Azure
separately? No, that documentation for Azure is just for Azure, but below that there was a link to the AD sync on SSO that works both for on-prem or regardless.
We have a hybrid environment right now with on-premise, but we're moving on to Office 365 and also try to activate Yammer. But from on-premise to Office 365, we always have a prompt. You know, basically, it's not truly single sign-on. How do we overcome that? It's always after typing whatever and then getting there.
Okay. Let's follow up afterward. Again, I'm seeing the clock ticking, and we get a lot of slides, but let's talk afterward.
Okay.
All right, so the next part of the presentation, I'm going to walk through mostly demo of the Yammer administration console. So we've gone through the steps of activating your network, and we're going to walk through what the actual admin console in Yammer looks like. So I'm going to switch over to my network here. All right, so this is a different demo network than the one that Christoph was showing you. What happens is once you activate over on the left-hand side down here at the bottom, what turns up is a little admin button. So once you, if you're one of the global admins from Office 365, you would see this button. You click on admin and you have a couple of options. I'm not going to walk through every single setting in here, every single configuration, but I'm going to walk through some of the main ones that we typically walk through with our customers, the ones that they typically have questions about. The first one I'm going to talk about is the configuration. So one of the things that Christoph mentioned earlier was the ability to configure the masthead. So that's what you see up at the top here. In this demo network called Four Leaf Consulting, we put this kind of nice green leafy background. So you can customize that to whatever branding guidelines that you might have for your own company. So I'm going to go here to configuration. Or design, sorry. And I can select the different colors. So there's a little gradient on the sides. You can select what color gradient that is. Again, you can select different mastheads. And what we do a lot in our Microsoft network, or even other customers will do in their network, is they'll swap out this masthead based off of a campaign that's going on. Or maybe you want to promote an event that's happening. So for example, we might be having a town hall with Satya Nadella, CEO town hall, and we'll replace that that banner with an announcement of saying when that town hall is or when that activity is. Maybe you're doing a United Way campaign and you want to replace it to promote a United Way campaign. We've got a couple of examples in our Yammer customer network. This is just what one customer did. What action are you taking? So they're promoting. They're trying to kind of incent people to post in their network and using the banner as a way to do that. You can also change the logo out. So this is going to be the logo that appears in your in the email notifications that go out. So if you want your company or your company logo to appear there, you can replace the logo here. So I can replace that there. Just browse for it. I don't have one here to upload, but that's where you would do it. So you could put your company logo there. This one is actually for the email. So if you have one with a white background, you can put that one in there, and it'll show up nicely formatted in the email. Oh, yeah. Good question. The question is, are there size limitations? Specific to the masthead, you want it to be 56 by 1200. So if you have a graphic designer internally that you work with, you can have them design it to those specifications. The logo, I'm not really sure what the logo guidelines are, but it's...
Yeah.
Oh, there's 40 by 160. Okay. Yeah, thank you. So yeah, it's all right there. Okay, next thing is the usage policy. Two of the main things that I just want to point out are these two checkboxes here. So require users to accept the policy during signup. Generally, this is an option that most companies will check so that once a person signs up for Yammer, they're required to hit the accept button for the policy. They're not required to read it, of course, but they're required to see it and accept it. So that's something that you might want to check. It also, if you make a change to the policy at any time, it will require users, once they log back in, to re-accept it. Right.
Is that true of any external networks you set up also?
It is true of external networks as well, yes.
Absolutely.
The display policy reminder in the sidebar, this makes the policy persistent up in the top right-hand corner of your Yammer homepage. So if I exit out of here, this is our Yammer customer network here. You'll see up in the top right-hand corner that you can keep the usage policy persistent there in case legal says you need to do that. So I always have the network policy here, and I can click on it and see it. So those are the two primary options. As far as creating a usage policy, we have some examples in our Yammer customer network that we can that I'll point you to if you need some examples. But obviously, please do make sure to include HR, legal in crafting your policy. Helps to get buy-in for the use of Yammer. I think you have HTML that you can put in here so you can format it nicely. The other things are try to make it positive. Don't make it, the usage policies that I've seen that are really good are ones that encourage good behavior. So encourage posting, encourage people to be helpful, to be honest, be truthful, those kinds of things, versus don't do this, don't do that. Those are kind of, those negative tones are kind of impact the tone of your network. Yes?
I see in the policy there it says fill out your org chart. Is that a Yammer feature or is that something that...
This is just, I don't even think that we have this, we might have even deprecated that. This is just a sample policy, but obviously you tailor your own to be whatever it is, but I don't even know that we have the org chart function in Yammer. It was a legacy feature. Yeah. Any questions about the usage policy?
Typically I can tell you at Microsoft it's very brief, and it actually points you to the official HR policy that you would use for any behavior at your company, whether you're using email or link or anything else. But.
So here's this is the usage policy for the Office 365 network. You can see it's really simple. Use this network correctly, get connected, be polite, be aware, be smart. So we want to be very positive in nature. In our Yammer customer network, some customers have actually shared out their usage policy. So if you're looking for examples and you want to kind of steal some wording from others, you can do that. Any questions about the usage policy? Okay. All right, the next thing is external networks. probably the main consideration, Christoph walked through what an external network is. I would say the majority of the customers that I work with select this option that only admins can create external networks. Makes sense, right? You only want admins. You don't want any user to be able to create. You want to have some oversight over who can create those external networks. So in general, I'd say most people will select only admins can create external networks. At Microsoft, we have a group in our Yammer network for people that want to create external networks. And we have a whole kind of process and policy around what's required in order to create an external network. So that's something that you might consider having a group in Yammer where people post to say, here's, I'd like an external network, here's why, here's the business justification, and then we have an internal process around who approves those things. So probably one of the things you want to go in right away when you first upgrade your network is set this to only admins to control that right away. The rest of these require admin approval for Four Leaf members. So what this is if one of your users in your home or your parent network wants to join, let's say, the Office 365 network or the Yammer customer network or any other external network that another company might have set up, when they try to join it, it's going to require an admin from your network to approve that membership into that network. Generally, I think that this is, most companies will say that this is probably too much administration for them. They don't want to have to worry about, what other people are doing in other external networks. Other customers say, we care. We want to know when people are joining other external networks. So that's kind of up to you. My recommendation would be to leave it unchecked. Any questions about external networks? You probably want to uncheck these two, check these two, because they'll show the external networks that are created off of that parent network. If you want to display them, or if you want your employees to have visibility into what external networks are there, then you can check it. If you don't want other people to know what external networks are available, then you check it. Next thing, I'm going to skip down here to keyword monitoring. So in Yammer, you have the ability to monitor foul language, or you can put regex codes for credit card numbers or social security numbers to monitor that, and then you can put in an email address for the administrator to be able to be notified when any of these keywords arise within your network. We actually have a document that lists out all of the, it's kind of shocking when you first open it and you look at all the words that are on there. So just be prepared when you first open it. You can just cut and paste it and paste it into this keyword monitoring field. Another interesting use of this is we had one customer, so that's kind of, generally people think of monitoring keywords as kind of monitoring negative things. We had one customer, back to kind of your question, BJ, kind of related to can anybody create a group in the network? And the answer is, it was yes. Well, what she wanted to know was, I want to know when people create a group. And I want to help nurture that person. I want to help that person understand what makes for a successful group. And I want to help that person be successful with their group. So what she does, so when you create a group or when anybody creates a group in the network, it creates a message in Yammer. It says, John Doe has created the human resources group. So what she does is she puts has created in the monitor keywords, and she gets an email every time somebody creates a group. And then what she does is she sends them a little kit of information of, thank you for creating a group. Appreciate your willingness to do that. Here's some information on how to nurture your group, how to community manage your group. I'm going to invite you to this group that we have for group administrators so that you can be a part of a community of people that are nurturing groups in our network. So don't think of monitoring keywords just for bad things. Think of looking for good things and looking for trends in your network, too. Any questions about keyword monitoring? All right.
So when you monitor keywords, what exactly? Do you get an email for those words are used, or does it keep them from using the word?
No, you get a notification. It's not like DLP or anything. It's going to give you a notification when it's used. Yes.
It's after the fact.
Yes.
Is that like a digest of how deeply or something like that? Not every time.
It does it every time. And there's actually, in that list that I mentioned, there's ways to put the keywords in there so you don't get false positives. Yeah. I'm going to go to user management. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with user management because assuming that you're going to do things like Active Directory, you're probably not going to have to worry a lot about inviting and removing users. But the one area I do want to call out is this ability to invite guests. So you do have the ability. So again, Christoph mentioned the ability to have a home network with an external network, and the external network is a subset of your users with users from outside of your company. And that's a totally separate network. With the guest feature, you can invite people that are not part of your domain into your home network if that's something that you want to do. So let's say you have a contractor that's working on a project, and you want to be able to invite that person into your network to be able to collaborate with the team. You can invite that person in using the invite guest feature. This is an admin-only capability. This isn't something that a regular user can do. So I just want to point this capability out here. There's not currently a way to invite a person to only see specific content or see a specific group yet. So if you invite a guest into your network, they do have the ability to see all public information that would be in your network. So just be cognizant of that. Should I mention FlexTernal?
Yeah,
one of the one of the features that we're working on is called FlexTernal. It's an ability for you to be able to be having a conversation in your Yammer network and then be able to invite somebody external just into that conversation. So if Christoph and I are having a conversation and I want to invite somebody from another company to provide feedback into that conversation, I'll be able to do that, and they'll only be able to see that conversation. That capability may extend later on to being able to include them in a specific group, but for now we're just going to focus on just seeing individual conversation first.
When you invite a guest, what kind of account do you need to create an account for him, or we can use whatever account he has?
Yeah, good question. So when I invite somebody here, if I say john.doe@microsoft.com, what will happen is that person will get an invite to their email address. If they do not have a Yammer account, they'll be prompted to create a Yammer account, and their account will be associated with whatever their domain is. So if that person is a Microsoft customer, or Microsoft employee, and they don't have a Yammer account, they'll create it, and then they're associated to the Microsoft domain or Microsoft network. And their profile is managed by Microsoft, or you know, whatever their parent network is at that point. So if they're removed from their home network at any point, then they'd be their access would be removed from your network as well. Obviously, you can always manage them out of your network individually at any time, too. All right, so let's see. The next thing I want to talk about is data export. So this is what the data export allows you to do is export the entire contents of your network from the very beginning of it. So even if your network started as a freemium network, maybe it started as a freemium network 2-3 years ago, you can always export your data all the way back to the inception of your network. Exporting it is pretty simple. I just plug in a date, so I'm just going to plug in November 1st. Including attachments is going to include any files, any documents. We also have, if you're familiar with the concept of notes in Yammer, it'll export those as HTML files. I generally don't include attachments. You would probably include attachments if you're doing some sort of legal discovery or something, if you need to do something like that. I'm going to do an export, and then I'm going to transition into analytics. And for that, I don't really need attachments. So I'm just going to do a month back and hit export. And it'll obviously, the time this takes is going to vary depending on how much data you are exporting. I'm going to save this just to my desktop for now. It just saves it out as a zip file. And then when I open it up, you see these are the files that I get. So I get a CSV file that lists all the admins, all the a link. The files document has a link to all the files, all the groups that are created, the messages. So in the messages, you actually see the full. You can actually see the full body of the posts in here. Thread IDs, all kinds of stuff in here.
So for discovery, is there more to it? Are there discovery features that we will hold in Yammer, or is it really an export?
It's an export, yeah. So what generally what we'll have, what most customers will do is they'll use the data export, either this export that you're seeing here or using the data export API, and pull that data into whatever third-party data retention tool they might be using.
Any plans for marrying up with the Discovery DLP and Office 365?
Not anytime soon. There's a bunch of third party. Like Steve said, you can do it yourself, or there's some third party as well. Some e-discovery.
Is there any PowerShell plugins in the
yet? No, there are none.
So I won't go through all of these, but you can explore these CSV files for yourself. Topics, pages, users. All right. Any questions about exporting the data?
And that's only within your networks you own, or the external network stuff. I know you can't grab materials somebody from your domain host to another network.
Not in another network, no. Just the external networks that are attached to your. Yeah, if I did include external networks, obviously this would be for external networks that are associated with my parent network. Otherwise, no, I'm not able to grab information from other networks. All right. Last thing I want to cover, and we probably won't have time to go through some of the journey stuff. Encourage you guys to, if you've been going to some of the adoption tracks, or if you want to go review some of the adoption recordings, make sure you go do that. We probably won't have time to cover the journey and the adoption piece here. I'm going to go into, I clicked on the little ellipse up here and went to apps. So I'm going to talk about analytics and some of the different ways that you can get data about your network out of the box. First one is analytics right here. And this is going to give you network level analytics for the network.
Cool.
That comes up. Okay. And again, this is a demo network, so not a lot is happening in this one, but I can see the number of members that were engaged, and typically the question comes up is, what does it mean to be an engaged user? My standard definition for an engaged user is somebody who's taken some sort of trackable action in the network. So whether that's obviously posting a message or liking a message, replying, it can also mean somebody doing a search, clicking on a group. All those are engagement activities, so those would be tracked here. Number of messages posted over time, and one of the limitations that we hear from customers is that this is, you can do it either by 7 or 28 days. Now we understand that that can be a limitation for folks. So one of the things that we've built, or at least a colleague and I have built, is this kind of a third-party way to be able to get some information about your network. And it's leveraging Power BI. But the nice thing about this is that it's leveraging the data export that you get. So the data export that I just showed you, we have some documentation that can I'll point you guys to on the Office 365 network about this. We've, just for fun, it's codename Tossalog. There's some background behind the codename. I won't go into that. But anyway, you can take your data export and import it into this BI model. And we've already done all the modeling for you. You don't really need to do a whole lot to it. You just need to point it to the right place to pull data from your source. Data export. Yep. And then all this information comes up. So that data export I showed you earlier, this one here, all you need to do is create an exports folder on your machine. And really, there's only, and ignore this engagement one right now, but this groups, messages, and users, those are three of the CSV files that come from your data export. You just need to dump it into your exports folder, and then you go in here and you refresh the data. Power View. Manage. I would just go in here. And this is all the modeling stuff in here. I'm not going to refresh this right now, but I would go in here and refresh it. It pulls in, sucks in all my export data, and then it just visualizes all the data accordingly. So one of the things that we hear a lot from people, I was showing you that analytics dashboard, is that's network level. But what a lot of people want is group-level information. So what's happening, you know, inside a specific group? Who's posting? Who are some of the people that are posting in that group? What's the trend of messages over time? When was the last message posted? Those kinds of things. We have this one for group trends over time. So you can see over time which groups have had the most activity, the size of the bubbles or the size of the messages. The other one here is a groups hit list. So a lot of times people say, well, we have tons of groups now, and I don't know what the activity level is of those groups. So we've kind of created this groups hit list for you to see. Here are the groups with the lowest number of messages and haven't had messages posted to them in a certain amount of time. And you can put all these filters on them too. But we've done a lot of the modeling. You can obviously take this, expand it for your own needs if you have a BI expert internally. They can take this and build off of it as well. So we make this model freely available to anybody that wants to access it. So those are the analytics options. Any questions about those? Okay. So we have about 5 minutes. I've gone through most of the stuff. Like I said, we have the So we were going to go through some of the adoption pieces. I'll blow through that really quickly. We like to think of what I went through as kind of being the technology enablement, which is really what, you know, according to Gartner, about 20% of us enterprise collaboration implementation, and then the 80% is really change management and culture, and that's really what the adoption track is about. So as IT pros, we really want to encourage you guys to obviously help enable the businesses with, you know, by setting up, administering the environment, but really partner with them so that you are giving an effective experience and helping them understand the change and communication that's involved. It's not a just, like I think Christoph mentioned earlier, it's not just pushing the technology out there, but it's helping people understand the change that's involved. So with that, we'll open it up for any other. Oh, sure.
Call to action. So, yeah, we got a bunch of documentation available.
The Success Center, make sure you go here. There's lots of stuff around adoption and usage, the success.office.com. And then our kind of our call to action here.
So yeah, just to wrap it up. So first of all, hopefully, for those of you that haven't activated Yammer, we're giving you the high level of to claim that Yammer Enterprise in your tenant if you have 365 or if you're about to embark on 365. Definitely set up Active Directory Sync and SSO potentially so you secure all the endpoints and you can manage users at scale versus doing it manually. Understand Yammer Enterprise Administration. There's a full admin guide in the link, oops, that Steve gave you. So it's definitely, you can read up on all the things we didn't show you or go back at some of the things that Steve showed you. And last but not least, like we say on the journey, kind of went very quickly over that, but definitely partner with your business stakeholder to drive adoption. It's definitely a recommendation that you guys need to really take it to heart as IT professionals. Now, you'll see when you get the deck, so we'll put on the external orders, there's like probably 20 or 30 slides in the appendix, screenshots or things we didn't cover. So definitely download the full deck and look at additional stuff that might pertain or answer additional questions that you might have. With that, thank you very much for your time. We'll be around if you have any questions. Enjoy the rest of the event.
Thank you, guys.